listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Was staying alive was no jive. At second hands, moms bounced on old man. So then we moved out to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth for low goose. Only way I begin to G off was drug loot. And let's start a little like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gats for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. I started smoking woolies at 16. And running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way on fire escapes. No question I would speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question I would flow off and try to get the dough off, sticking up the white boys in the ball courts. My life was no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Monday.
Yes, sir.
Correct. On a Monday. Ready to get your week started off right. Okay. Holiday week. Everybody gets the 4th off, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're going to continue to be a militaristic country that determines that you got to kneel you can't kneel at football games, everybody should at least get the day off on July 4th. I mean, come on. It's the day that the one group of white people decided to betray the other group of white people and to claim this country as its own thing, even though it really wasn't. So. Mm-hmm. Hey, we betraying y'all. Pow pow fireworks. Woo. America. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
Right, and a lot of y'all looking up in there at the fireworks ain't even free. We don't even consider you a whole fucking person.
Mm-hmm. So can't wait for that holiday though. I love it because everybody gets a day off.
All I care about. I don't care what you're celebrating. I get a paid day off. I'm here for it.
People go grill, you know. All right, we got plenty of news today to get into. Of course, the Blackout Tips. You can find us iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Take a little bit of time and do that. We appreciate y'all that do it because we read it on the show on Saturday morning. It makes us feel good.
It does.
You know, we love doing this show. We get feedback, so much of it. And we feel so loved, man. There's a lot of people out here doing their stuff, and it's just in the darkness and the void because ain't nobody listening and ain't nobody writing in. Nobody cares, but we feel loved and cared for and supported. And that's a great way to do it for free. Just takes a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do stuff like go to our website, The Black Guy Who Tips, sign up for premium on the Black Guy, on the Black Guy Who Tips.com. Just go to the premium little header at the top, and you can it'll tell you instructions on how to sign up. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And don't forget September 20th.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. Okay, 3 days before my birthday. Love to see y'all celebrate with you.
We would love to
having a live show in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes. At the Blumenthal Theater for Performing Arts.
And people are already hitting us up and talking about they ready and they excited. They count the days down. Got them plane tickets booked, got them hotel discount rates booked, and they is ready, and we is ready for y'all to get here too.
Yeah, so we can't wait to see you. You can get your tickets and everything, your hotels, all that stuff. TheBlackGuyWhoTips.com/live2018, right there on the website. So let's get right into it. Before we even start with any news and articles, I just want to send a heartfelt message of camaraderie to all the Lakers fans out there. Welcome to the team, guys. Okay, and the team I'm talking about, of course, is the only team that we care about here on the Blackout Tips, and that's Team LeBron James.
That's it. Like, I hope y'all don't know, we are wherever he was going, I was gonna be a fan. So I am the bandwagon fan that y'all talk shit about.
Before you start talking, I would like to say what I have to say, and then you can speak for yourself.
Okay.
I'm not saying all that shit. Welcome to my bandwagon. The LeBron James bandwagon. Okay.
Correct.
Y'all can root for them teams and all that shit that the white man taught y'all how to do, but I'm rooting for this black man.
Me too. Okay.
The one that called your president a bum. Okay. The one that I've been saying better than Kobe and better than Jordan. And now the Lakers fans who've been protecting the legacy of Kobe can finally get on board and admit the motherfucking truth, which is that LeBron James is the GOAT. So, congratulations. Keep that Laker rah-rah shit to a minimum And don't fuck up the LeBron party. That's all I ask. You know, is y'all can get y'all's jerseys and all the stuff that y'all do to celebrate, you know, your team. Mm-hmm. You know, and the stuff that y'all have been doing is not no animosity towards your team. I've been getting called a hater and stuff for saying this online, but I don't have any animosity towards the Lakers. They are a fine organization that I'm not bothered in the least, but I make no mistakes. If LeBron would have went to Houston, we would have been talking about Houston today.
Come on.
Like y'all, like it wasn't nothing special about we go where number 23 goes.
That's okay.
So, welcome. Know your role. Don't be in here questioning the legacy. I will root against anything on the team that I feel bars LeBron from winning a ring. So I don't give a fuck if it's development of young players. I don't care if it's the coach. I don't care if it's the GM or the owner. It's about LeBron. Okay? So just stay out of the way. Help him win a ring. And beat the, of course, beat the Warriors. You know, that's a big one. Because you can't really win a ring. No more complaining about he not in the West Coast. No more complaining about Kobe. And after he win these rings, I expect a statue out front. That's the least y'all can fucking do. Okay? Your whole franchise is in limbo. And this man could make anybody's franchise a contender. So we know who the real genius is here. All right. You see all these people signing up to be Lakers today. Even Lance Stevenson got down. That's how you know it was some real shit. Lance Stevenson don't even like LeBron and he had to go sign there. I heard God's plan playing when he went over there. Now, Karen, you can say whatever you was gonna say, but I just want to make sure the Lakers fans know they roll. Cause
I am a LeBron James fan, and I'm like you. Wherever he would have went, that's the team that I was gonna be rooting for. It wouldn't have mattered where he went. The only thing that I don't like is that now I got to take a goddamn nap because y'all fucking games come on too goddamn late.
Yeah, that's the only thing is live and watch life. It's gonna be a lot of DVRing of these games.
Yes,
now.
Sir. I can't be up no 1-2 in the morning.
Yeah. So, you know, just y'all are welcome and everything to be on the LeBron bandwagon. But yeah, I saw a lot of people trying to flip it the other way around. We're not Lakers fans. LeBron demand a trade tomorrow. Guess what? I'm off. I'm out. So
yeah.
Let's not even pretend. I'm not buying no Lakers jerseys. I'm buying LeBron paraphernalia. Whatever team that was.
Whatever team.
All right, let's get into the news, guys. All right, there's all kinds of stuff that's in the news. What do I want to start with? Oh, actually, you know what? Before we even do that, I got some random stuff too. Yo, I almost got rear-ended by two trucks today on the highway. Because apparently, while everybody was merging on the highway, like a piece of styrofoam was on the highway, some motherfucker decided to pull a complete fucking stop. Rather than ride over styrofoam.
You better hit that bitch and ratchet crush over your big ass vehicle.
And so they came to a complete stop and none of the cars behind me really stopped. And they had time, so I don't know. And lucky for me, I was paying fucking attention and looking in my rearview mirror. And I seen the trucks behind me. And like, I seen like they didn't have time. Like they slammed on the brakes and then like one of them went to the shoulder because I was in the farthest right lane, you know, closer to the shoulder.
Because trucks ain't like vehicles.
So one of them went on the shoulder. And so first of all, I saw them coming. So I moved my car up as close to the car in front of me as I could without hitting it.
Right.
So they got more time to slow down. And then I had to move my car to the left while one car went to the right. And then a fucking bigger truck behind him couldn't stop. I had to move my car to the right. Like, it was crazy. So, yeah, man. I was reading about how, I forget which model it was. But one of the video models from, like, the 90s got into a car wreck with a 18-wheeler. And her brain was bleeding and stuff. She's recovering now. But, you know, I was reading that article about her. I was like, yo, that could have been me today. Who knows?
Yeah, because the thing is, what I realized... A lot of people, I've seen people do this before, particularly on the highway. When you're going 50, 60, 70, 80 miles per hour, you can't come to a complete stop. You just can't.
Well, it was rush hour traffic, so it wasn't even people going the speed limit necessarily.
Right.
But still, it just...
For a styrofoam, you better hit that bitch.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. Like, when I got up there, I was like, what the fuck was the problem? I thought maybe it was a wreck or something.
Right.
This is a piece of styrofoam. I was like, if you don't fucking run over that styrofoam, you're going to get everybody killed. Man, people are stupid.
Yes, they are.
That could have been ugly. Anyway, Then I went to the store. We had to get toilet tissue. We were out. But, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to just go to the store and only buy toilet tissue.
Why?
So I bought some other stuff, too, to make it less embarrassing.
Why?
You know, because then people going to know you use the bathroom in your house and stuff. And that's, you know, that's gross. Like, wow, they must shit a lot.
I mean, what is
you
teeing?
Just buying toilet tissue.
Mm-mm, they're going to be like, they got some clean asses, and I'm good with that, too. I wipe my ass.
Well, I mean, that's why you buy other stuff, so they won't just think of the nastiness of you buying a whole bunch of toilet tissue by yourself, you know? So then I went and bought some.
They don't
some.
Know what's happening in your household. You could be using it for a project or something for your child.
Yeah, well, most of them just going to think you bought it to take a shit, because that's what most people do with toilet tissue, so... I just made it less embarrassing. I don't know if this is a life hack for you guys, but just buy other stuff, you know. That's what I did. I bought some Monistat, some condoms, and a pregnancy test, just to make it
just to balance it out.
Yeah, so then it was the least embarrassing thing in the cart. No, I didn't buy all that stuff. What I did buy, though, was some Granny Smith apples.
Good.
Now, I don't know anything about Granny Smith or who she was, but that motherfucker knew her way around some apples, didn't she? Oh, they the best apples.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what they make most apple pies out of.
I don't care. I just know that those apples are the most delicious, okay? Like, why are there other apples? What's the point of those other apples? Especially that fucking, the golden delicious. You lied. Okay, and you look a little too close like Granny Smith. That's the only reason people buy those Golden Delicious apples, because they think they're Granny Smith, and then they get them home and they're like, what the fuck is this shit? It's a fucking bland ass mayonnaise apple. It's those fucking Golden Delicious apples. The only apples worth eating is fucking Granny Smith. The red ones is okay in a pinch if you have to, but them fucking Granny Smiths, that was a bad bitch. Okay, I don't know how she made them things. Must have been I don't know. She must have just left them out in the sun too long or something. I don't know. They good.
It must have been Honeycrisp. I never heard of that type of apple.
They all right. They not no Granny Smith. I had every kind of apple. The Fuji apples, the fucking, or Fiji apples, whatever you call them. Those hybrids. The grapples. The grape apple monstrosities.
The grapples.
The Monsanto shit. I've had them all. Granny Smith is still the reigning queen. The baddest bitch. The Beyonce of apples. And y'all fucking know it deep down in your heart. That's why you feel so sad, because it's the truth. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Now let's get to the news. The NYPD has demoted those police officers who we covered, I think it was last week or the week before, where they posed with a stripper at the old folks home. So they got demoted. So if you're keeping track, you can fuck underage girls in custody.
Mm-hmm, I get charged with a crime.
You can choke out black men who are selling Lucy cigarettes to death. Mm-hmm. You can shoot unarmed people. You can do a lot of stuff as a New York Police Department officer. But what you cannot do is take a picture with a dude wearing a thong, because you will have to get demoted. Two of the cops are now back on regular patrol, during which they are limited to answering 911 calls and radio calls, a law enforcement source told the Post.
What the fuck does got to do with them performing their job task?
NCOs, the two have participated in the NYPD community outreach program, in which they spend most of their time meeting with local residents and community members with a specific sector. It was as NCOs that the officers had posed for a group photo with Messiah, a buff exotic dancer hired to entertain at a Mother's Day party at this year's Fort Washington Senior Center. News of their demotion came as a blow to Messiah. I'm very disappointed that they would have to go through this, he said. His real name is Jude Manalis. They didn't cross any line at all. They did nothing wrong. It was an innocent picture when all was said and done, he said. He lives in Brooklyn, ladies. And men, I don't know what he's into. The sausage shot, in which two of the cops lean in for a hug while a third points to his G-string, just showed the officer's humanity and sense of humor, he said. Every time you see a cop picking up a bat and playing with a kid or dancing along at a parade, you just need that stuff, he said. it was propaganda. It was cockaganda. The fact that they are minority women who are doing positive things in the city makes it even worse situation.
Right.
They did nothing to embarrass their shields, their uniform, or me. Nothing at all. Mm-mm-mm. What you think about that, Karen?
This is racist.
They were black and brown women in the police force that took this picture.
Correct. This, all it is just racist.
And no one gets canceled news.
Nobody.
Roseanne Barr has been offered many returns to TV.
Yeah, she's not going nowhere. Talking about she lost everything.
Yep. So we all know what got her in the way. Got her in trouble. She said during an interview on Rabbi Shmuley Boteach's podcast. I don't never heard of him.
Me either.
I've already been offered so many things. I almost already accepted one really good offer to go back to TV, and I might do it, but we'll see. Yep. She'll be back.
Yes, because nobody gets canceled.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. This one might shock you, Karen.
Okay.
This is big news.
All right, I'm listening.
Movies with diverse cast make more money at the box office.
No shit.
Yep.
No shit.
Can't believe it myself. The Daily Digit is the story behind the numbers that will make our world work. Today, we're looking at Hollywood's diversity problem. While minorities make up 37.1% of the U.S. population, only 13.9% of lead roles in Hollywood films go to people of color. However, new data released by UCLA and Creative Arts Agency shows that that's actually bad for business. For the 10 top grossing films in 2016, 47% of opening weekend audiences were non-white. And that percentage has grown in 2017 and 2018. Simply put, movies with diverse casts and audiences make more money, about $19 million more per on average.
Yeah, that's why racism ain't about money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, fiscally and statistically, it makes no sense to be fucking racist. You should want all the goddamn money.
It's almost as if no one had ever brought this up before, but like, I'm like 99% sure that black and brown people have been saying this shit forever. But every movie of ours that does well gets reported as what? A surprise box office hit.
Mm-hmm. Right, because nobody expects it.
White people don't expect it.
Yeah, that's what I meant by nobody. Yeah. White people don't. They always like, shocked and surprised. You're like, bitch, if you'd have asked anybody brown, they'd have told you that was going to be number one movie this weekend.
When the head of Sony gets busted in those leaked emails saying Denzel Washington is not a viable star because he doesn't sell well overseas, and that's before The Equalizer came out, you know, that kind of shit, you know, and they keep investing themselves in these movies that don't make money because it's white people.
Flop.
Right. They don't like movies with black cast and shit like that. So, yep. Weed apocalypse dawns for California pot dealers on Sunday. 6 months after California made recreational marijuana use legal, the so-called weed apocalypse arrives this weekend. As tight state regulations go into effect on Sunday, have dispensaries scrambling to unload non-compliant product. I talked to my dad about this Friday. Mm-hmm. We were just talking. And I was like, I was like, one thing that government regulation might help with for marijuana is some of the shit that is unregulated in weed that, you know, like with a lot of stuff.
Been making people sick. Ain't we been covering that stuff where they come out and like people been getting sick and shit because, like you said, it's not regulated.
Right. We've covered a lot of articles where people did like drugs and the drugs had like fucking rat poison in them and shit,
and don't nobody know what the source of it is and all that bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Embalming fluid or like weed that was like that over-the-counter synthetic weed that people get, but then like motherfuckers start passing out and having like spasms and shit because of it.
Come on,
you know. And I'm like, yo, weed needs to be regulated to a certain extent as well, like, or it could use some regulation. I mean, unless that's what people are trying to do with the weed, then like, you know, when you read about 19 people passing out on the street in Indiana, it's like, I don't think everybody was trying to get that fucked up.
No, they wouldn't.
You know, like if my boy passed me the joint, I'ma smoke it. Well, now I'm laying on the ground with fucking foam coming out.
If anybody got a problem with selling good old-fashioned regular drugs, you should now.
Yeah, sell them good old-fashioned regular drugs, dog.
Good old-fashioned regular ass non-lace drugs.
So now dispensaries are trying to basically give up the unregulated weed and sell it before they have to start selling weed that's actually got some sort of, like, you know, regulation to it.
Yeah, and not this I do agree with, just for the simple fact that if it's not regulated, the store doesn't even know what the fuck is in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just selling you shit.
It's about getting rid of a lot of older product that doesn't meet city and state requirements and getting through that old inventory and moving on to the next steps after July 1st. The government approved pot will be marked with a harvest and best used by date and sealed in child resistant packaging. The rules were designed to take effect July 1st, 6 months after legalization approved by voters in November formally took effect on January 1st. Business owners say they have struggled to meet the deadline because of the lack of approved testing facilities in California, which has created a bottleneck in the supply of compliant marijuana that could drive customers to the black market. Yeah, these are problems that would come up that because the government has been resistant to this shit in the past.
Correct.
And they weren't ready to get on board. But now that these governments are making so much money off of it, they're going to have to shape up. The scary part to me is there's still a lot of big business investment in beer and things that are competing cigarettes that want to shut it down. And alcohol. We have put a government in place, an administration in place that absolutely will take that money and absolutely shut down marijuana if they can. Mm-hmm. And not leave it up to the states, even though they claim states' rights on anything involving race, gender, and sexuality and but women's rights and stuff. But when it comes to this one, you know, Jeff Sessions is very, like, hard up about destroying marijuana in America and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that
shit is not criminalizing happening.
It marijuana criminalization is a huge source of the black community imprisonment and stuff like this. These are bigger issues, and you know, it's sad to see, you know, all this is probably going to be undone in short work possibly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see what else happened. Maxine Waters put out she was at a rally and she gave a speech, and for those that have been keeping up, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family were kicked out of a restaurant. Not even kicked out, they were asked to leave basically because nobody wanted to serve them because, you know, they're fucking racist ass president's puppet and,
right,
you know, and mouthpiece.
And a lot of the staff there was LGBTQ, and they was like, we don't feel comfortable serving her, you know. And a lot of Hispanic and Mexican, they was like, mm-mm.
So then after that, Maxine Water, like a few people, not a few, most people called for civility, which we've talked about that word a lot on here, but a lot of people call for civility, mostly white people that are like, hey, listen, I know she's a bigot, I know she's a liar, I know she's a threat to most of the freedoms of most of the people in this country, but could we all just be nice and let her have her breadsticks? Like,
no, fuck that bitch.
Wherever she goes, can y'all just, like, still serve her? I mean, what about, isn't this what Martin Luther King died for? I mean, people wouldn't serve black people, and that was the real problem, right? That was what everybody was marching for, that kind of shit, you know. As if, you know, the race you were born is the same as the politics you pick. But the point being,
Naime Salem, thank you for joining us. Please do keep us posted.
Why did that keep playing? All right, anyway, all that to say, like, so Maxine Waters was one of the people that was like, nah, fuck that shit. When people see them out, they need to be prepared to get booed and confronted by the people that y'all abusing in this country. And then a bunch of people, Trump included, started calling out Maxine Waters, like, she's exciting violence and she better be careful what she's wishing for. A whole lot of Democrats start talking about civility and no one should say what she said and all this shit, and we wouldn't take it from Trump, which most of the time they never even call out Trump when this happens. So Maxine Waters was at
and bring us an update.
Damn it, I didn't click that. Was at a rally for reuniting family separated at the border, and she gave a speech. Let me see if I can find the clip now.
My story involving five-year-old Diana. All right, let's listen back into Los Angeles right now. The rally happening there. This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
We're not afraid of you. You should be ashamed. We want our children connected back to their parents. How dare you? How dare you take the babies from mother's arms? How dare you take the children and send them all across the country into so-called detention centers? You are putting them in cages. You're putting them in jails. And you think we're going to stand by and allow you to do that? I don't think so. Donald Trump, you think you can get away with everything, but you have gone too far when you're trying to break up families in the way that you do. I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what ethnic group you are. We all love the children, and we're going to stand by them. Some of us know the history of those who have separated children from their parents. As an African-American woman, I was raised on the stories about what happened on the auction block when they auctioned off Africans. They took the fathers and they sent them one place. They took the mothers and they sent them another place. They took the children, the boys, to work in the farms and to work in the fields, and the girls to work on domestic matters in the big house. Well, we overcame that. We fought against that. We marched, we fought, and we won, and we're gonna win again.
I just like to point out, like, where's Bernie during all this?
Way, way in the back.
Like, where is he? Cause she on the front lines. Ain't nobody threatening to shoot Bernie. He's on Twitter pleading for civility for Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That's what he's doing. But the real ones is out here doing the work.
Donald Trump, we are sick and tired of you. We have no fear. You will not intimidate us. We're coming right at you, and we're saying to you, we're saying to you that the Constitution of the United States of America gives us the right to protest, and protest we will. Yeah. We're saying to you, Donald Trump, you may not understand the Constitution of the United States. You may not have respect for the Constitution of the United States, but we're going to teach you a lesson. And the lesson that we're going to teach you is this. We understand the Constitution because we fought for it. We respect the Constitution.
Let me get to the part where she, because there's a part in here where she's like talking about the threats against her. Hold on. Sorry.
Now, we have some members of Congress who are intimidated. I have no fear. I'm in this fight. I know that there are those who are talking about censuring me, talking about kicking me out of Congress, talking about shooting me, talking about hanging me. All I have to say is this. If you shoot me, you better shoot straight. There's nothing like a wounded animal.
So that was the line that everybody was talking about and stuff. What do you think about that?
Oh, I don't have a problem with what she said at all, because the thing is that it's getting to the point where marginalized people, we're tired of being nice, we're tired of being cute, we're tired of playing the white folks games, you know, because a lot of the Democratic people that are white, they still trying to cater to us white folks. It's never coming back. You're never going to get that group of people. It's like they don't even know who their fucking base is anymore. And you're trying to cater to a lot of white people that are racist, a lot of white people that only care about whiteness. They don't really care about anything else outside of that. And so you actually are turning on your base because you take your voting base for granted. Like a lot of them do. A lot of them just are like, well, what else are you going to vote for? And I think that because a lot of them don't have any quote unquote skin in the game as far as a lot of these rules and regulations, a lot of these policies he's passing, they're not separating their children. They're not coming after them. So actually their action shows that they don't give a fuck. They still want us to dress up and be cute. But you get to the point, particularly being black, you're like, I don't give a fuck about being cute. I don't give a fuck about your feelings. You know, this is what it is. And that's the truth, because the thing is, if an animal is wounded, it will fuck you up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think people understand that. Like, you take somebody and you pressure them enough and you pound on them enough and you abuse them enough and you beat them enough. If they actually make up in their mind, all right, I've had enough of your bullshit, you know, it's going to be a problem. And I think that a lot of the tactics and shit that's being used is designed to make people in marginalized groups give up hope, designed to make them not want to fight, designed to make them say, well, this is what it is. But that's how your rights get taken. That's how, you know, families continue to be separated. Because the thing is, a lot of the shit they're doing is to scare people. A lot of this separation shit is to scare people. And technically, this detention center shit, them people are never going to see their children again. And them children are never going to see their parents again. They're talking about it. Y'all ain't trying to fix shit. It is to intimidate people and to scare them and to make and it goes back to what I said last week, make people think that they don't have power. But they actually do have power. We have powers in numbers, but it's hard to get people to understand that you got to do more than just talk about it. You actually got to be about it. And a lot of people ain't that be about it. Like, for a lot of the Democratic Party, they about be about it when it's cute. They about be about it when it's time to give a nice little cute speech. They about, you know, be about it on certain things when it's time to vote. But are you really about it? Are you really gangster? You're not really, because you're not really, really willing to put your feet to the fire. You're not really willing to turn against that white base and have confident enough in your voter base to say, I'm confident enough to say this as a white person and not fear any retaliation. Because that's the thing. White people don't want to deal with the retaliation of other white people either. You know, truth be told, you know, but brown people and marginalized people have to deal with the backlash of white folks all the time. They still want to go out to dinner with them. They still want to go out to eat with them. They still want to have fundraisers with them. They still want to party and pal with them, because at the end of the day, it don't matter to them. It's almost like it's a fucking game to them. But it's not a game to the people that are dying. It's not a game to the families that are separated. That shit ain't no game. It's not a game to you going to these detention centers and you got fathers and sons and daughters all locked up in these cages where they can see each other but can't reach each other, you know, shit like that. And it's like nobody seems to fucking care, and it's heartbreaking, because it's one of those things where when you look at it, America quote unquote used to pride itself on being the example for the world. Like that's something white folks just pride themselves in. America's the best. America's the great. You know, America does all this humanitarian care and all that shit. But we don't do that shit anymore. We're actually pulling out and pulling away and just coming within ourselves. But the world is when it comes to the world, it's a circle, and we all are connected more than ever before. But America is almost retreating back to it's only about us. Well, when you do that and you cut yourself off, all that happens is that you end up cutting yourself off from help. You end up cutting yourself off from aid. You end up, if something happens in America, how many people are actually willing to come and help and assist us? You know, and shit like it. And from my perspective, it's very frustrating when you actually think with a critical mind, when you actually use your critical thinking skills they showed you as a child, and you actually begin to analyze shit and look at shit and look down the road at all the policies are being passed. When you analyze shit and some of the shit that's being passed today will never recover from, some of this shit being passed today, it's going to take decades and centuries to reverse. Some of this shit passed today, people are going to die way before they ever see a positive outcome from this, you know. And it's very frustrating when looking now, you can go, well, I could have told you this shit was going to motherfucking happen and nobody listened. And also something else that irritates me, particularly being a black woman, nobody ever wanted to listen to us. Everybody act like we just sassy for nothing. Everybody act like we got a fucking attitude just to have a fucking attitude, you know. Act like our points are not valid. Act like, particularly being a black woman, you've got to care about other people whether you want to or not. Do you know how many black women wish they could say fuck y'all niggas, but they don't, because they understand they have to think about the totality of the human race. They have to think about, if I do that, what are the consequences and repercussions of me turning my back on y'all? What, you know, like people fail to realize that. And when I really think down and really get down to it, a lot of the things that have been going on politically have been black women. It has the foundation and the root of it and the beginning of it. It's been birthed through black women. And when you try to tell people that, everybody won't act like you motherfucking crazy. Everybody won't take credit for ideas. Everybody want to push these slogans. Everybody want to take our slang. Everybody want to go online and do all these things, but if you actually go down and look at the root of it, a lot of it comes from the foundation of black people, particularly black women. And it's very frustrating because you don't want to give us credit, but yet you want to tout all these ideas like it was your original idea, when actually it was not. And it's very frustrating to know that you have a black woman that's willing to stand up, but guess what? She stand up all by her motherfucking self, and everybody is leaving her out there by herself. Believe you me, as a black woman voter, I'm watching y'all. I'm watching how y'all responding to her. I'm watching you. So when it's time to vote again, I'm gonna vote your ass out, because I see that you don't really care about me. You don't care about LGBTQ. You don't care about brown people. It's just a talking point to you. But at the foundation of it, do you care? Because if you really care, your actions will show you care. Guess what? You didn't have to say shit. Being quiet is free. Y'all could have just let Maxine Waters cook and everybody would have been fine. But you felt something struck you in your heart to make you feel like you had to go tell this nigga to sit the fuck down, bitch, and shut the hell up, bitch, because you're rocking the motherfucking boat. But what you fail to realize is that Trump and them don't give a fuck about y'all. Y'all out here vote no against everything. They vote yes, and Trump signing that shit. I don't understand. Why don't you get to the point to where they did y'all? They stuck their middle fingers up and said, fuck y'all niggas. This is what we doing. Nobody ever wants to do that, because nobody ever really wants to do what it takes. Y'all trying to be cute. Y'all trying to be civil. Y'all trying to act like it's not a big deal. But to me, it's getting to the point where we're almost in like a panic state right now, where nobody ever realized how important shit is until you have to sit back 3 years from now, 5 years from now, go, oh, shit is fucked up. Oh, why do we have millions of homeless people now? Oh, why do we have people? Why is healthcare going up? You know, when you look at these terrorists and shit that Canada has on us, shit's about to go up. And when people go to the gas, you begin to buy things, because the thing is, once these tariffs kicks in, guess who's gonna pick up the cost? The fucking consumer. The companies aren't gonna pick up these costs. The consumers are. And you know what also is gonna happen? These companies are gonna take that shit and they're gonna go to other countries where it's cheaper to build this shit and it's cheaper to make this shit. That's economics. And it's amazing when you look and you see how dumb and how ignorant people are, and how they pick fucking sides when the sides don't goddamn matter. All that matters is the human race. And it's like people don't even really care. It's no love, no empathy, no sympathy in their heart about their fellow brothers and sisters. And I don't, for me, on the outside looking in, it's frustrating. And particularly me being a black woman, is very, very frustrating when you, as a black woman, are the only one spitting the truth, and everybody turns their back on you, including your own kind. That's fucking frustrating.
Yep. I mean, obviously, agree with all of that. And it's also wild, because if those white politicians that are Democrats, call themselves liberals and shit, were to have her back, people would actually listen to them, as opposed to dismiss Maxine Waters. Because when you was like, basically, Maxine Waters on the front lines. And the thing I love about her is that she doesn't have fear and she doesn't give a fuck. Like, she's just like, I know right from wrong. Everything else can kiss my ass. Like, everything, like, okay, y'all gonna be nice about it? Well, I'm not gonna be nice. This dude's a piece of shit. He will kill us. I'm going to go down in history as being on the right side of this thing, and you guys are going to go down in history as appeasers. So I love that about her. I love that, I love that she's fearless, but I fear for her, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think it's right that she should have to be the one to talk about these motherfuckers talking about killing me, and the calls for civility only come from people telling her to be quiet. Like, when a big moment in 2016 that got basically kind of swept under the rug by a lot of people, Democrat voters, black people, white people, everybody, and it was really disheartening to me at the time, and it's still disheartening to think about to this day. But when Hillary Clinton called them motherfuckers deplorables,
right,
and she had to walk it back some because the media hit this shit, this civility shit, and her fellow Democrats hit the civility shit, Bernie Sanders hit the civility shit. We need those voters. Everybody hit everybody. But that was the most honest thing she could say on the campaign at the time, to the point where I never stopped saying it. I was like, nah, them niggas deplorable. Like, you cannot bargain with these people. Like, she didn't say every last voter, but all the deplorable people is voting for him. Yes, it's not even close. You know, but because, one, she was a woman saying it. Two, she's Hillary Clinton saying it. And, you know, people wasn't still in the kind of post-Obama, like, malaise of, I don't like anybody. She had to walk it back because the passion, for better or worse, is on the side of the people that are Republican and evil. And unfortunately, in this country, the passion that people that claim to be liberal or Democrats or anti-Republican have, very fleeting and mostly unfocused and so idealistic at times, is feckless. You know, once you get to the point, because see, the thing is, we'll say listen to black women, right? We'll say that, right? We'll say thank black women. Remember, they thanked black women for Alabama, for Roy Moore, right? They thanked them. Like, thank you for not letting that motherfucker win. If you hadn't shown up and voted in the numbers you did, we would have lost. Black women vote at like a 90, over 95% clip for Democrats, right? For Democratic candidates. 95%. And yet, we'll follow them everywhere except to the voting booth. Now, I'm not saying just the percentage wise, but also the turnout wise. Most reliable voting block of the Democratic base. Yet, at the same time, I listen to people shit on them and shit on the idea of voting and shit on the idea. You think Maxine Waters ends those speeches and go, but don't go vote. It's that level. So, and yeah, mostly the thing I notice is who ain't out there. You know, I, like, no offense, I don't give a fuck that Susan Sarandon went and got arrested protesting. Like, you gave your vote away to Jill Stein in a very important election. You know, and I don't expect a lot of these motherfuckers to admit it, but I'll just say it and I'll continue to say it. A lot of motherfuckers thought Hillary's gonna win and they was gonna get the shit on her anyway. And they wanted to be the people to say, I shitted on Hillary Clinton. Yeah, she won, but I didn't vote for her, so I'm gonna say what the fuck I got to. And then when she lost, they went, oh my god, oh, I didn't think that would happen. I'm gonna just fade into the bushes, Homer Simpson, you know. But she's still out here doing the work. She's still out here talking that shit. She's still out here rallying folks. I'd say, honestly, she's the main voice of the opposition to me. You know, Bernie Sanders not a opposition to Trump. He's an appeaser. A lot of the senators that claim to be against Trump, Elizabeth Warren doesn't talk like she used to talk. What happened to all these people? Kamala Harris is ramping up, but I think that's because she's gonna run in 2020. She's one of the most outspoken people, but even the way she speaks, she still gives a fuck about making sure that certain voices are appeased with her words. Like, and I'm not even saying that to take a shot. I think anyone that's gonna run for president is going to run for president of the entire country, so they're not going to come out and say some things that would basically kneecap their campaign before it could start. But yeah, Maxine the only one out here like, I don't give a fuck. Maxine and John Lewis, them the only, like, if I'm going to somebody right now, like, let me see what the real is, that's the two people I'm looking at in politics that'll be like, nah, fuck that shit, this is what's up, this is why this is important. So yeah, man, it made me nervous that to hear her talk about people that want to kill her and shit, but that's her reality. And it's either this or stay in the house. And she had to cancel like 2 campaign events in the last like week or so behind some of these threats. But I'm glad, it's good to know she got that courage and that she not backing down, because I know a lot of us ain't got the heart to do all that shit.
No, you know, no, the average person, probably me included myself, on certain situations are not willing to die on their morals,
right?
You know,
and you are taking your life into your own hands with these protests and shit. Like, don't get it twisted, these motherfuckers will, like, the other side does have all the guns and talks all the shit, all the mass shooters, all that shit is them. So they just really sitting out here like waiting for the call, you know.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating. You know, she should not have to put her life on the line.
Or some other people should step up and do it too.
Correct. But
you know, but I don't see these other motherfuckers doing shit. They talk that shit on, you know, they willing to go to a point and stop, which is always correct. This point of, well, hold up now, you're gonna make some white people feel bad and we have to stop talking right now. Everybody is the fucking elephant in the room. You know, that's why I expect 2020 to go the same way. I don't.
Oh yeah, he's gonna get elected again if he runs.
People say stop talking about 2016. Stop doing. I'm not gonna stop talking about it until we stop looking like we're gonna do it again. I need motherfuckers to look like they give a fuck beyond just like, maybe we can get these white working class people back. You can't get bigots back. They're never coming back.
Right, and you're actually repeating yourself. You know, you want me to forget about it. You know what? I'll move on when you move on for your Confederate flag. That's when I'll move on.
Imagine, like, here's the thing with Democratic people, right? That are like, it's just Hillary. She's a bad candidate. We could win if it would be anybody but Hillary, which I think is bullshit and a lie. But okay, let's say you're right. All right, you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know politics. I'm just out here just saying whatever the fuck I think. Right? If Hillary would have campaigned like 3 more times in like Michigan, Wisconsin, and Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania, she would have won. Okay, let's just say that that's the truth, and that's all it's supposed to take, right? Okay, so then in 2020, the candidate will do the things you think Hillary should have done and win. That's what you think. You know, I was listening to 3 guys on, and Klein was saying how like she should have campaigned harder on the Supreme Court justice choices, that he thinks that those would have been issues that would have motivated people to vote more for her. Here's, and maybe he's right, maybe that's what they can do in 2020, I don't know. But let's say for a second, as a thought exercise, I'm right. Just think about it for a second. Let's say that it's really the Voting Rights Act getting overturned. Let's say it's really voter suppression. Let's say it's really the fact that white people are willful bigots and will never come back to the Democratic Party in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Let's say that for a second, that I'm right, and that the only way out of this is that you got to get black and brown voters and people that will vote for you out to the polls. You have to motivate them, and that you can't run from our issues, that you can't just be out here saying like, let's be a little careful with talking about the police brutality thing, you know, ixnay on that, we might want some white people to come out and vote for us. Let's say you drop all that type of hemming and hawing, and you just get down with the get down, which for the most part Hillary Clinton did, by the way, which is why I'm like, it wasn't her campaign, it was literally us as voters. We take no responsibility for what we do. If I'm right, you can do all that other shit that you said a candidate needs to do and also do my shit, and we can win. I don't know why one is somehow like, we can do this but not the other. You know, it's a reason that Obama's working on other people's, like, younger Democrats campaigns, but also voter registration and voter suppression laws. It's a reason that that's his number one thing he's doing behind the scenes right now. Yeah, I mean, he clearly, y'all motherfuckers think he's smarter than everybody else. Y'all voted for him. I voted for him twice. Clearly motherfuckers think he knows something, but not on this time. No, we're still talking about do we need to get coal working? You know what I mean? We're still talking
shit that's never coming back.
Right. We're still talking about shit like tariffs, if that's the problem. We're talking about immigration as if that's the problem. No, they voted for the shit because they don't like brown people. None of this is bothering these white people that voted for him. Mm-mm. He has a higher approval rating now amongst his base, I'm sure, than when he even took office.
Correct.
I'm 100% sure on that.
They going, you did what you said you was going, what I voted you in office for.
They don't care if the boat go down if they sink last.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, it's like Maxine Waters is obviously a godsend for what she's doing, but it's also super disheartening to watch her be out there alone, because who the fuck, black women lead, except, you know, when y'all leading, then can y'all like be a little quieter and go to the back and let these white people handle it? Anyway, mm-hmm. Speaking of putting your lives on the line, a crowd drops to the ground as a lunatic Trump protester pulled a gun on a peaceful immigration protest in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to intimidate people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it boils down to. And all this silent messages that y'all put in the air, and hate filled messages that you put in the air, and whistling at people and shit like that, and your racism codes, people pick up on that.
Right. He pulled out a gun. I saw him holding it in front of him. He just started screaming for everybody to drop to the ground. Said Ava Caldwell, the rally's organizer. We all dropped to the ground crying. He was then arrested. His name was Shane Riley Silly. Ryan Silly. He's 34. Huntsville teacher. Silly was arrested before firing any shots. The police pointed out that he was not allowed to have a firearm within 1,000 feet of the protest. Someone with the same name and location as Silly has a Facebook profile, which is full of extremist conservative propaganda. Yep, any one of these nuts. So yeah, that's why I worry for Maxine Waters, even though, as I applaud her bravery, who knows, you know? Let's see. Tyler Perry calls Monique the Black Oprah and promises comedian, I'm going to find out what money is coming in from Precious and I'm going to send it to you. Is Oprah not Black?
Where? Like when you went, like, start call, like, you got those.
Yeah, Oprah's Black.
The Black, is that shade to Oprah, calling her the Black Oprah?
I don't know. Don't you work with her? Don't you got shows on her network now?
Is that credit to Oprah? Like, she's transcended Blackness?
Possibility.
You're saying Monique has a Black audience, so she's like Oprah, but for Black people?
Because I'm assuming he's saying that Oprah's audience is majority white. But a lot of Black people love Oprah.
He regrets how things between him and Monique turned out, according to never before heard audio from a phone call. Monique's husband and them, they do stay putting out everybody's business. I do understand what y'all saying now, okay? In the audio, Perry, along with Monique and her husband Sydney, attempt to hash out their differences and address the fallout for the show, following Precious. In the audio obtained by Rolling Out, Tyler admits that working with Monique is like working with the Black Oprah Winfrey. He also admits that he feels bad about labor and Monique is hard to work with. This is why I'm calling you right now. I just watched the podcast, and the reason I'm calling,
because she has her own podcast.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess it's good that he reached out. You know, I mean, he could have saw the podcast and been like, fuck you or whatever the fuck. You know, and I also appreciate him calling. You know, it's kind of fucked up to then release that audio to anybody. But, you know, Mo gonna do her thing. One of the reasons that kind of sucks is that the reason Monique feels the pressure to put all this shit out is because motherfuckers keep calling her a liar.
Right, don't know everybody else.
But yet, not once has she been proven to be a fucking liar, and yet people keep calling her fucking liar. It's gotta be maddening that you just keep having evidence of, like, but look though, this is exactly what the fuck they said. And people are like, yeah, but you probably lying this time. Well, here's the evidence. Wow, I can't believe you put all your business out there. Wow, you crazy. You are crazy. But yeah, he said, this is why I'm calling you right now. I just watched the podcast, and the reason I'm calling, I sat down here and watched it, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at Monique, and I see pain there, and I see hurt. I don't want to be a part of anybody being hurt. He can tell you, I never wanted to look back on pressures or any of that. I chalked it up as bad experience, and I was ready to move on and move forward. He also admitted he owed her more than just apology. I'm going to call you and find out what money is coming in from Precious. I'm going to send that to you. I'm going to send that over to you. Whatever it is, I'm going to send it to you. I don't want you to feel not one day that you were mistreated or that you were treated unfairly. Now, if that means that's what I need to do, you do that and you take it from a place of love. So, there you go. I guess I still feel like people ain't gonna give a fuck. I feel like the jury's already out on how people feel about Monique. Like,
right,
they
either you like her or you don't like
it. Wouldn't fucking matter if like Lee Daniels and Tyler Perry and Oprah all came out and was like, we actually were the ones that was wrong and she was right about everything she's ever said about us.
It wouldn't matter.
People will still be like, it's, I don't care.
Right.
All right, let's see what else has happened. Michigan okays polluter panels in a blow to environmental efforts across the state. Environmental activists are slamming two controversial bills signed into law Friday by Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, arguing that they will give polluting companies the ability to undermine state environmental guidelines. I mean, but like, what example in Michigan do we even have of like an environmental crisis that would put these people in like such a state of worry, Karen? I mean, is there even a like a city that has had problems with?
I don't know, is there a specific city that hasn't had water in years?
I mean, it couldn't be like just like a city where kids and adults got sick from the very water they're supposed to bathe in and drink. It couldn't
be
that.
I don't know. Breaking out in rashes and shit, causing middle conditions in small children? Nah.
The two bills signed by Snyder will allow for oversight of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, which is meant to serve as a watchdog for environmental issues throughout the state. One law establishes an Environmental Rules Review Committee staffed by governor-appointed voting members representing various sectors, including waste management, manufacturing, fossil fuel companies, and agriculture. The committee will oversee the DEQ's process for establishing rules and presumably wield considerable control over how such efforts proceed. The second law creates Environmental Permit Review Commission, which will advise on permits and other applications to be housed within the DEQ. Both laws have been dubbed polluter panels, bills based on the leeway they give to industries known for poor environmental practices. So basically, the companies that do the polluting will be in charge of what is defined as polluting, what determines if you can get a permit somewhere, what determines how you clean it up.
Oh, they're getting ready to tear the wastelands up. They're getting ready to tear your lakes, your rivers, your streams up. Like, because they'll dump that shit fucking anywhere. They don't give a fuck. You need somebody going, clean this shit up. Clean it up. You put it out here, clean it up. There's proper processes. They're going to start skipping shit. They're not going to follow the rules and regulations because they created them. They don't give a fuck.
Right. Like, the people should be in charge of determining what's safe for their people.
Right. All of a sudden, your air quality is going to go down, and guarantee you a lot of these problems, like everything else, they're going to be around the brown people's neighborhoods and around indigenous people's neighborhood, and you know, and shit like that. That's where it's going to be.
In a statement, Snyder argued the bills would bolster the DEQ's ability to make decisions impacting environmental quality, in addition to helping transparency. These bills enhance opportunities for independent experts to weigh in and provide information that will help ensure new environmental processes meet the highest qualities and safety standards. Mm-mm. Word. Is that what's gonna happen?
And it's funny when they come out and they actually say the opposite of actually what they're doing. You know, you'd be like, but that's not what the bill says, dog. Like, I don't understand.
Well,
this.
You know what though? Here's the thing though. This is how they get away with it. It could do what he said, but that requires an immense leap of faith in the responsibility of corporations, which will not happen.
No, they're about profit.
It's like how every Republican argument hinges on like corporate morality and responsibility to the American people and the countries that they're in. There's none of that. None of that exists. You can only make them do shit, and most of the time they try to break the law doing that shit. Just ridiculous, man.
Yep.
My reaction is angry, sad, and disappointed.
I feel you, little white girl.
In addition to that, let's keep it in Michigan. Detroit children have no fundamental right to literacy, rules a federal judge.
People thought I was bullshitting y'all. Within the next 10 years, we will have no such thing as public school. No, it will not exist here in our country.
And a 40-page opinion on Friday, U.S. District Judge Stephen Murphy III ruled against Detroit students who wanted to hold state officials accountable for what their attorney said were systemic failures in teaching literacy. The judge acknowledged in his opinion that literacy is damaging to people and society. Plainly, literacy and the opportunity to obtain it is of incalculable importance, Murphy wrote. As plaintiffs pointed out, voting practice, participating meaningfully in civic life, and accessing justice require some measure of literacy. However, he argued that the impact of illiteracy does not necessarily make access to literacy a fundamental right. I was shocked, Detroit Federation of Teachers President Ivy Bailey told the Detroit Free Press. The message that it sends that education is not important, and it sends a message that we don't care if you're literate or not.
They don't. We've talked about this on the show before. Their goal is to strip education, because that's the problem. When people get educated, that's the problem. When niggas learned to learn how to read, how to write, became doctors, became lawyers, they started shaping shit. And they actually want to reverse time. They want people to go back where they were dumb and illiterate and they could just do shit. And people can't be like, hey, I understand this, and the fuck you, what the fuck you think you doing? Like, they hate that. So yeah, their whole goal is to have another because once one generation is illiterate, that's passed down from generation to generation.
Yep.
And they understand that concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild because he admitted that it was very damaging to not have literacy. Like, to be illiterate was so damaging to a person in every aspect of society, and yet that's not setting those children back from participating in society for them to be illiterate. Like,
yeah, because a lot
and literacy is the basement. Like, y'all, like,
right.
Literacy isn't the ceiling. It's the fucking floor, man. It's the floor. It's like saying it's okay for kids to go to school and not get a meal at lunch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like saying schools don't need heat or like it's light. You know, like, this is not some like high-minded, idealistic like goal. Like, oh man, wouldn't it be nice if kids can read? Everybody should be able to read in a country that has the ability to teach. Who the fuck looks at, it's like the Voting Rights Act shit.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, I don't think, you know, racism is that big a deal anymore, so no more voting rights shit. And then every fucking state is like, we're gonna keep niggers from voting. Every state. Just sitting around waiting like a fucking track athlete for the pistol to shoot when it comes to oppression. They were all waiting, like,
yes.
Pow! Oh, take off! And then 40 yards, South Carolina's pulling the lead. No. Oh, here comes North Carolina. North Carolina's taking out. Ooh, early
sprint. Oh, I know what I got. 25, 35, 45. Can I get a 55? Right. 55, 65, 75, 85. Oh, can I get 100? Up. Can somebody give me a 200?
That is an auction, but sure.
It's the fucking same thing. The numbers keep going up. How many people can you oppress? The number fucking skyrockets.
I'll allow it.
Thank you.
But the point being that, I'm sorry, that's just funny. The point being that these motherfuckers they're always like taking shit for granted. Like, really, is literacy that bad? Yes. It's that bad. If you have to ask, yes, absolutely. Everybody should be literate. Everybody should have that right. You should be teaching kids to read. I guess. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. All right. Let's see what else we gotta do here. Um, Actually, let me check to see what fucking what black people looking like.
Okay. I know it's probably some shit in there.
Yeah. Okay, I do want to do it today. Hold on.
Okay.
Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe. We find different articles, make us feel fuck with the wind sign points, scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, because we are black and we feel fuck with sometimes. Today's contestants, everybody.
Everybody.
All right, let's see who's fucking with us now. Here's one. Morning while black. A priest calls the cops on black funeral goers. Tells them to get the hell out of church.
Where did this happen at?
Maryland. It was a homegoing service in Maryland. Mm-hmm. That had a black family removed from the church. The servant of God even kicked the dead body out of the funeral, proving once again there's no sanctuary when it comes to racism.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of them things where even within our own race, it kills me when people talk about race and racism, because everybody only want to act like that shit happened in the Deep South. Y'all know white folks is everywhere, so as long as there's white folks, there's fucking racism.
Yeah, there's a white person that kicked them out, called the police on them. Aside from the fact that she was no longer alive, Agnes Hicks, Charlotte Hall, Maryland, Mass was going along perfectly fine on Tuesday until an attendee of the funeral went in for a hug and accidentally knocked over a chalice at St. Mary's Catholic Church, angering the pastor, Michael Brees. There will be no funeral, no repast. Everyone get the hell out of my church. Oh, a man of God even. What? How are you a man of God if you say that?
Why did you even accept it? Because it's not...
Isn't the pause button show? I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen.
Mm-hmm, it sound like you didn't want to do the shit in the first place. They probably paid you. You probably took their money. Say no. Let them go somewhere else. Guarantee you that's what happened. Because for you to actually flip the switch that quick, you didn't want to do this.
Yeah, you never wanted them in there.
Right.
Like for it to be a one strike law, like.
Just tell them no, and they would have been more than happy to have it somewhere else.
You niggers are fucking up my church. You take your dead body and you get the hell out of here. Okay, buddy. This is the news.
Miss Hicks's obituary. This was for her viewing and funeral that was held here inside this church Tuesday morning. Hundreds of people showed up to pay their respects, but it all ended abruptly when someone knocked over and damaged the church's sacred cup, also known as a chalice. A cell phone records a chaotic scene from the church pews as an argument between the pastor and family laying their loved one to rest escalates, while the body of 54-year-old Agnes Hicks lays in her casket right nearby. A short time later, the family is seen carrying out her casket to leave, with shocked attendees and police cars in the parking lot.
This was uncalled for. Yeah. Uncalled for at that church. And it really hurt me. Yeah. Really do. To see your loved one come there to rest and be shut down like that.
Hicks's family is still traumatized over what happened. They say Agnes Hicks was baptized as a young girl at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Charlotte Hall, and it's where she had always wanted her funeral. But things got ugly at her viewing with Pastor Michael Breezy. This is a photo of him from the church's website. When family says someone went in for a hug and accidentally knocked over the church's sacred chalice near the altar.
That's when all hell broke loose. He literally got on the mic and said, there will be no funeral, there will be no mass, mm-hmm. no repast, yes. Everyone get the hell out of my church. He was disrespectful. He disrespected our family. He disrespected my mother. He called my mother a thing. Yes. He said, get this thing out of my church. Everyone what? Get the hell out of my church. Yes. It was very sad. It was very sad. Yes. And I never seen anything like that before.
Family says the pastor then called police.
Bad enough we had to bury our own mother yesterday. But for you to say she's a thing... And it will be no funeral. You're not a preacher. You're not a pastor. You're not a father of the Lord. Yeah. You're not none of that.
Acting like that, you're not.
You're the devil.
When officers arrived, they determined the family was not in the wrong and escorted them to a funeral home out of the county where another pastor performed their funeral service. Meanwhile, the Archdiocese of Washington has issued an apology to the family that reads in part, quote, "What occurred at St. Mary's Parish does not reflect the Catholic Church's fundamental calling to respect, nor does that incident represent the pastoral approach the priests of the Archdiocese of Washington commit to undertake every day in their ministry."
My mom was supposed to have a great just funeral. Mm-hmm. And all this came up, and now I'm so traumatized about it. I'm going to keep thinking about this every day. Like, I can't never forget this day.
The Archdiocese adds that they are taking this matter very seriously, and it is still under review. Father Breezy is also expected to make a formal apology to the family.
Oh, you can save that apology. I don't know what that's supposed to do.
I ain't supposed to do a goddamn thing.
I don't know. What he think?
What he think that was supposed to do?
That was you, homeboy.
Right. Like, at the end of the day, it's one of those things where, should you be preaching? Who are you preaching to?
Right.
You know, like I said, you know, when shit like that happened, it's very traumatizing to everybody, and they had to literally move it to another location.
Yeah. Now I do understand, because black funerals can be fucking, they can be a lot. Yeah, all people like jumping on the casket, talking, "Lord, take me with her, Lord, it's too soon, why, oh Lord, not me," you know, you got the secret of the family showing up. And it's a mass, it's a Catholic church, so they probably not even used to that kind of shit.
You know they not.
You know, I'm sure when the choir started singing, they was like, "What song is this right here? I never heard this shit." Then he came.
Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! Hit the crap!
That's how he came out of his office in the back when that shit hit the ground.
He heard that chalice ding a ding a ding! He was like, "What the fuck is that?"
Right? But
something that they could have replaced. I'm not trying to find it. You probably could have just charged them for it. I mean, it wasn't that important. Bought another one. Shit.
Why'd you call her dead black body a thing?
Right, because you don't respect any of them black people that showed up.
Racist piece of shit. How racist you gotta be?
Right.
0 to 100.
Oh, he get a 300. One for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Ha! He gets 100. Waka Flocka on Jay-Z's song Talk Up, his verse on Talk Up, which is a song on, I think, Drake's album Scorpion. Jay has a line on there where he talks about George Zimmerman and XXXTentacion.
Okay.
Making a point. I don't know why this article won't load. What the fuck is going on with your site complex? Black people sites. What's wrong with us? I know we need to add revenue, but our shit should load. I don't know why it's taking so long. I'll try reloading it, maybe. If not, I might have to look this up myself. Never thought I had to put in the words Waka Flocka, Jay-Z. Controversy.
You know I don't know nothing about this.
Before. I would just tell you, I found it. All right, it's coming up. In a tweet that appears to have been deleted, because everybody told him what it means. Anyway, Waka Flocka wrote that he respects Jay-Z, but his verse on Drake's Talk It Up, referencing XXXTentacion's death and George Zimmerman, the man who killed Trayvon Martin, was uncalled for. He argues that since Jay-Z has way more coins and connections than other rappers, he could have gotten the job done, but blames the unguided you. What he's talking about is Jay-Z rap. "I got your president tweeting. I won't even meet with him. Y'all killed X. Let Zimmerman live. The streets is done." So essentially saying, black men killed XXXTentacion in black on black crime, you know, whatever. And this is in the same Florida where George Zimmerman has just been running around wilding out, living his life after killing Trayvon Martin. And he's like, you know, if you're gonna be out here killing somebody, then, you know, kill Zimmerman. Now obviously it's more, it's kind of complicated because you're basically saying like X should not have died, or if he is gonna be dead, then why isn't Zimmerman dead? Like, you know, making it seem as if X is almost like some, and I guess in the relation to the crime that actually happened, like X was died on some unrelated shit, which is, you know, that whole thing has been a microcosm of fuckery, because like people have been blaming the woman that he abused and harassing her. She had nothing to do with him dying.
Nope.
People been blaming kids for feeling bad about somebody dying, which I didn't know when we decided, like, you don't have to feel bad that someone dies. Mm-hmm. I don't know when we decided no one can feel bad that someone died. That's right. Weird.
Or everybody has to feel bad that someone died.
Yeah, like all that shit in between is just weird. But yeah, Waka Flocka basically has decided to champion XXXTentacion. I guess somebody explained to him that that line wasn't disintentation, and then he deleted the tweet maybe. Cause then he tweeted after that, X died off of pure hate and jealousy. Nothing more, nothing less. Hashtag long live XXX. So I guess he was, basically he probably misunderstood the line, which makes sense cause he is a person that, doesn't think slavery existed, I remember him saying. So.
Oh, okay.
He's not a very smart person. He also claims not to be black, but then he got offended right now by the, anyway. 0 to 100, Karen.
Zero.
Yeah, I also give it zero. I'm not bothered by anything that happened Mm-mm. in that situation as Mm-mm. far as my blackness is concerned. So I'll just leave it at that. Let's see what else. Oh, I know what I want. The reason I even did this section. So as an update to an article we already covered, there was that Paula lady, that pool patrol Paula, who assaulted a black teen at a pool
mm-hmm.
and called, and the police were called and all this stuff.
Yeah, she bit the police officers on that shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She herself has been fired from her job. Rodan and Fields is what the company is called. It's a skincare company. She has been fired for harassing those, that black kid. Hey. I love this song. Oh, there's no better feeling.
No better feeling.
Than a racist person getting that comeuppance and a lack of a check. How you gonna make the rent this month? Guess you have to see if they accept some white privilege in currency.
You could have left that baby alone.
Did it to yourself. Could have just sat there on your pool tube or whatever the fuck you were doing. Sunned with some of your skincare products. I mean, looking at your mugshot, you should have been fired for just not using the products alone. Okay. But no, you decided to go ahead and do this. Okay. Authorities say Stephanie Sevy Strimple, a white South Carolina woman, was charged with third degree assault after hitting a 15-year-old boy in the face and chest during an encounter at a pool June 24th in Somerville, South Carolina. That's right.
Ooh, she was deep in South, cause Somerville is in the middle of nowhere. That's deep in South Carolina.
Stephanie Sevy Strimple of Somerville, South Carolina. According to Dorchester County Sheriff's Office incident report, She was also charged with resisting arrest after allegedly biting a sheriff's detective and pushing another man into a wall when they tried to arrest her. She also called the boy a punk and used racial slurs and said he didn't belong at the community pool, even though he had been invited there by a family friend who lived in the neighborhood. She could not be reached by phone.
I wonder why.
Oh yeah, no idea, Karen. But I'm always love to hear this story. That's all. I never get tired of it.
Never get tired of this tune.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, between her and Permit Patty,
come on.
I mean, it's been a pretty good week of people getting immediate karma. Could have left that baby alone.
Leave people alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, zero for me. Karen?
Mm-mm, same zero.
All right, let's move on. Let's do some. So you got like 20 minutes left. What should we do? What do you want to do? White people news? Guess the race? Take out the trash?
No, I don't want to do no take out the trash.
Okay.
I don't want to take out the trash.
All right.
I guess we could do, white people news and guess the race?
What? Both of them. I said one.
Oh, one? I get to pick one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be picking if you couldn't. Yeah, you gotta pick one. White people news to take out the trash, or guess the race, or take out the trash.
You know what, y'all? I'm sorry, chat room. I'm gonna go with the white people news. We need to lighten this shit up.
All right, Karen's choosing to go with white people news. So you guys know what that means. Y'all get to hear.
We gotta lighten
one
it
of
up,
the
y'all.
Hits, as only the white man can do it. Because only the Caucasians can do it. Adding a little flavor in your ear, okay?
With a guitar.
Mm-hmm. Or taking a little flavor off of it.
Oh, can we see it?
It was all a dream. Used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper heavy deep in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop.
Oh! Weed and hold up! Hold up!
Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack.
Oh, you hit a groove!
Remember rapping Duke to hard, you never
come on, Hank Hill!
Take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I'm
Bobby!
Blow up like the World Trade. Oh, blow up like the propane.
Yes.
Pizza Ron G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Punk Master Flex, Love Dog, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like I thought I would. Call the crib, same number, same hood.
It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, Bobby.
You know very well
who you are. Don't let them hold you down. Reach for the stars. You had a role, but not too many.
Cause you're the only one.
I'm giving good and plenty. I don't know about this part right here.
I made the change from a comment.
There we go.
To up close and personal with
Robin Leach.
And I'm far from cheap. Smoke skunk with my peeps all day.
Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. Brooklyn, Wyoming.
They keep me pissy. Girls, they miss me. Now they writing letters
cause they miss me. Uh-huh.
Brooklyn, Idaho.
I was too used to packing gas
and stuff.
Now hunts play me close like butter
plate close.
From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos and Queens and dope
weeks.
Sold out seats
and hear big and small speech.
Living life without fear. Putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches,
interviews by the pool.
Considered a fool cause I
dropped out of high school.
Stereotypes of a black man.
Misunderstood. And it's still all good.
And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
Nigga, hold up, what? Hank Hill, what you doing? Oh, you was doing so good. That's enough of you. He had to take it to the N-word, guys. He was almost at the cookout.
Almost.
I was ready to give up these tickets.
Mm-mm.
I was like,
they'd have been revoked anyway. Anybody
who gonna bring the propane and the propane accessories? Okay, mm-hmm. Y'all gonna be out there grilling without no propane? Okay, mm-hmm.
You know niggas like charcoal.
I know.
I ain't messing no propane. I ain't trying to blow shit up. No, honey, niggas don't like no propane, honey. They'll get offended.
Niggas do be pretending not to understand that propane. I don't know why.
Right? I mean, if it's a barbecue, it's a barbecue in my mind, but you know.
Nah, that's the truth, though. They be pretending not to know.
Niggas be like, no, I'm going to sit here and wait 45 minutes for this charcoal to heat up. People be like, come on now. Ain't nobody got all this time. Just hit the button and poof.
And be mad we get that 2 weeks later.
Okay? Come on. We the two niggas that show up 2 hours late.
Anyway, gotta do that shop, man, real quick. Kids in exchange for deportation. Detained migrants say they were told they could get their kids back on the way out of the U.S. So basically took the kids hostage.
Correct.
Congress quietly passed the largest rollback of Wall Street regulations since the financial crisis. Both sides are the same. Drain the stomp. Two sides of the same coin. You know, that shit. Former Trump aide apologizes for his cotton picking remark.
Did he say nanny? Cotton picking nanny, you know, those words normally go off.
No, it's just cotton picking. You thinking of pickaninny, which is a totally different word.
My bad.
It's okay.
Totally different racial slang. My bad.
Mm-hmm. He represents Maryland in the Republican National Committee. His name is David Bossie. And not to be confused with our friend Bossie. He made the comment to Joel Payne, a black Democratic strategist. He told him he was out of his cotton picking mind. He later apologized on Twitter. He said he would be more careful in the future. The owner of Red Hen explained why she kicked Sarah Huckabee Sanders out, and you can save it, sis. We get you. We agree. Megyn Kelly lectures America on uncivil protests against Republicans. Paul Ryan hasn't done anything wrong. Y'all really bet the farm on her? ABC or whichever one, NBC?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all really thought this is the person?
Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna pay her all her contract, even if y'all don't do her to pay number to be a wife. Y'all probably gonna have to be like, you know what, just cancel the show. Just pay her a lump sum and fuck it.
She got that Carmelo Anthony contract on y'all niggas.
What? She gonna be like that baseball player. They pay $1 million once a year.
There's a dude that Fox News, he's a reporter, and he stood outside the Redhead restaurant on the day it was closed just to deliver live reports. Why? Melania Trump tries to visit the kids again after she botched that I really don't care message. I don't care about her trying to come back. How about that? Mm-hmm. Did she wear a shirt that said psych this time? Like, what was the, like, how? Stop me if you've heard this one before, Karen.
Okay.
This may be shocking news, but as an exclusive, exclusive CNN got word that Trump has an appointee that gutted the UN document on racism and says leaders don't have a duty to condemn hate speech.
Mm-hmm. Everybody is
shocking.
Yeah. No,
couldn't believe it. The White House is scrambling to find out why Trump called back a prankster from Air Force One. Cause he's stupid. Yeah, saved you a click. He dumb. He shouldn't be president.
Back a prankster.
Somebody prank called this nigga and he called them back as the president of the United States. That was a thing that happened. Now to white people news, okay? Shark drags a woman into into crocodile infested waters in Australia.
Oh!
Crikey. Is that how you say it?
What y'all doing over there, Wanga?
Mm-hmm. Put another tourist on the Barbie, I guess.
Apparently so. That's what them sharks and alligators were saying.
She must have been out of her cotton picking mind. Okay.
Man.
Once in a lifetime trip in May for a woman in Australia quickly turned into a harrowing experience when she suffered a bite while feeding a shark, which then dragged her into the water. Melissa Burning, 34, was on a yacht.
She was feeding them?
This is the second white woman I've seen try to feed sharks by hand and it did not go well.
It's a motherfucking shark.
Yeah, let me tell you something about feeding sharks by hand. Your hand is part of the meal, motherfucker. Everybody know that's how sharks work.
Right.
You, what? It's like feeding a fucking horse. That's like feeding a fucking hamburger on top of a hamburger. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's like if you had hands made of like something edible. It's like you had hands made of bread and you tried to serve me meat with tomato, mayonnaise, lettuce, and cheese on top, in between both of your sandwich bread hands. Like, nigga, that's just the meal now.
I mean, everything in there.
What, like, how is that possible that you were that dumb?
And y'all were randomly doing this off the side of a fucking yacht.
You know who I blame for this shit? That motherfucking Discovery Channel, man. All that pro-shark propaganda. Now, I don't care if it's right. But whenever they run those disclaimers like Shark Week, like, they're more scared of us than we're scared of them. Sharks, gotta be nice to sharks. Mm-mm. You got white people out here believing that shit. That sharkaganda. Getting ate
the fuck up.
Stop fucking with sharks.
Right, come on.
They not friends. They not pets. They don't want to hang out. They fucking eating machines. They can't even sit still. They, yeah, anyway, she tried to hand feed up to four tawny nurse sharks swimming around the boat. She told the West Australian that she didn't realize she shouldn't hand feed a shark until the animal became like a Hoover, sucking her right index finger into his mouth full of rows of razor sharp teeth. I didn't know I couldn't hand feed a fucking shark.
Yeah, cause white people think everything is a goddamn pet. Everything is a pet. Everything.
You think you a Disney princess, motherfucker? Animals just want to kick it with you? Oh, God. Oh, you deserve it. You deserve to be eaten. Okay?
And who would your finger in? Of course, who would your finger in?
I'm honestly rooting for the shark, and this is actually now a tragedy that it didn't get to eat you. I think the shark was in shock as much as I was. The only way I can describe it is this immense pressure, and it felt like it was shredding off the bone. I came up, I was like, I've lost my finger. My finger's gone. The shark also pulled her into the water, which is inhabited by saltwater crocodiles that can grow up to 23 feet long and weigh more than a ton. Of course, Australia, home of the saltwater crocodile. Of course. The entire harrowing encounter was captured on video, which shows her screaming. She's dragged to the water for the boat and crew, and her friends pull her out. Nurse sharks are bottom dwellers. They are mostly harmless to humans until you try to put your fucking hand in their mouth, which is, I mean, they're still harmless to smart humans.
Yeah, I'd have been like, oh, okay, and we'd have fucking floated on past them bitches.
If you handing out appetizers at a party, you can't be mad. I took a couple off the tray. Their strong jaws are filled with thousands of tiny serrated teeth. They will bite and act defensive if they are stepped on or bothered by divers who assume they're docile. She sustained cuts, a fractured torn ligament, and a bad infection from the bite, but she did not lose the finger.
Good God.
She said the incident was completely my fault, just a blind doing a stupid thing. That's the first honest thing in this article. It's not the shark's fault. Could have been a lot worse, she told the paper. I'm not a shark victim. I have full respect for sharks. I think they're incredible. I've always had the opinion that when you're in the water, they're the top of the food chain. It's their domain. I must have forgot for a second.
Yeah, I'm about to say that. That's not true. You respected the shark. You'd have left his ass out there and be like, hey, mm-hmm. You do your shark thing.
Right. Exposure to feces sends 33 people to the hospital following a potluck party in an East Charlotte neighborhood.
Ah!
Right? Somebody watched the help.
No, obviously somebody didn't wash their hands.
I mean, this is the second food story in local Charlotte.
Wash your hands, people!
I mean, were roaches there in various stages of life as well?
Apparently so.
According to Mecklenburg Health Department, exposure to feces at a birthday potluck in the East Charlotte neighborhood sent 33 people to the hospital over the weekend. The health department said in a press release Monday that 18 of those patients were admitted. Medic responded to multiple calls to Four Seasons Lane in East Charlotte. Upon arrival, paramedics responded to over a dozen complaints of general illness symptoms and later transported 33 to Charlotte area hospitals. According to the health director, Shigella is to be blamed for the outbreak. The health director is urging that those who took home food from the potluck not eat it. The health director is also urging proper hand washing. But they all felt the symptoms immediately, and because somebody didn't wash their hands, or did someone intentionally put shit in the food? Because what are the odds of everyone getting sick at the same time, and it really just being like, I didn't know, I just had shit all over my hands. I'm sorry, guys. My bad. According to the health director, at least 33 people were transported to Novant Health this weekend, with some patients in intensive care. According to intensive care, two of three in intensive care are children. The diarrhea is severe and could go on for days. We want to get everyone tested. We worry about people getting dehydrated. Man, fuck. And it's not related to the hepatitis A outbreak at Hardee's.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
What's going on in our city?
It's the one near the airport. What happened, they said an employee was sick and came to work for like 2 or 3 days. And then they went to the doctor. When they went to the doctor, they realized they had hepatitis A. And so then they had to go back and tell the restaurant to get in contact. I think they said like 4,000 people had passed through during that period of time. And they was actually over the weekend, they actually opened up where people could go get like their shots. But it was like the people that like traveled through and stopped and went to other places. They said they don't know about them people. They were saying they were just trying to get as many people as they possibly could. They said they did spread it out to like other places. They were like, hey, you know, if you visited this particular Hardee's.
Well, you know what that means. Breaking news. We have important breaking news tonight.
What done happened?
White people, I hope you are sitting down for this very special breaking news.
It is
traumatizing. If you have loved ones, hold them near. If you have children, you may want them to leave the room for this next portion of the podcast.
Oh, shit. What done happened?
America has a 1.39 billion pound cheese surplus.
Surplus.
That's right.
What's happening?
We are at 100% cheese capacity. White people have created too much cheese.
They couldn't fondue their way out of it.
Now, I don't know if this means they're about to start eating more cheese or what, but there's 1.39 billion pounds of cheese that is stockpiled. It's the largest amount of cheese in 100 years since the Agriculture Department started documenting that stuff. It's an incredible amount of cheese, up 16% since 2016 and 6% since last year. This could be the cheese apocalypse. I don't know.
Something happening.
You know? Apparently it's because processors have too much milk on their hands. Milk production is way up, but consumers are drinking way less milk. So what do? When you have a lot of milk, you turn it into cheese. So now we have too much cheese instead of too much milk. Because white people have demanded. I mean, I guess it's like gold. Like, we stockpile wealth in this country and we stockpile cheese.
That's true. And
now, there will never be a chicken surplus because black people love chicken.
Come apparently. On. Never and be a chicken surplus.
America would never do that. So, these disgusting cheese eaters, guys, I tell you.
Yeah, people start doing like the almond milk and the rice milk and the soy milk and
I feel like we can do some more white people news, but I need to go to the next segment to do that.
All right, let's do it.
Let me get everybody back on screen. I'm gonna bring us back, guys.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I maybe it's just me coming. I like milk, like regular cow milk, like that other.
You drink lactate.
Yeah, it's still milk.
Is it though?
They just take the lactate out of it, but it's
the lactose.
Lactose out of it.
If you say so. You've looked that up. You know that for a fact.
From my understanding, I mean, it's still cow's milk.
All right. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I have honestly tried, and I'm like, ugh, this shit overpowers the cereal, and ugh.
I like almond milk. Soy milk was cool, but I prefer almond milk right now. But I don't think I was ever that big a milk fan.
Yeah, maybe I haven't found the right quote-unquote brand of one of the alternative milks, but I have tried and I'm like, nope.
Yep. All right, more in white people news, because I think we've milked enough out of that story. All right, sorry guys, I know that pun was cheesy. All right, let's see what else we got here. Milton Yogurtopoulos is back in the news. Remember that guy? the dude that had a book that was terrible.
The 18 letter last name, yes.
Yeah, he's back in the news because he told he said he hoped journalists are murdered right before a dude shot up a newspaper. He's of course came back and said he was just trolling. So you know how you can like call for murder of people, but it's just a joke if you're white, I guess. Meanwhile, we have covered articles on here where like a one nigga that had 4 followers on Facebook said like, I hope the police get shot or something, and the police literally had to come in to bring them into the station. If you say like, I hate white people need to die, you are definitely going to jail. Like, they're gonna at least come interview you. This dude really got to say that with the platform he has, and after motherfuckers get shot, I'm just joking, guys. Funny. All right, let's do some other white people news. How about this? Meghan Markle, and
bring the screen back on.
I'm going to. I am working on it in the background because I'm a professional, Karen.
Thank you.
Meghan Markle and Serena Williams have been kicking it. Okay. Matter of fact, Serena Williams had a press conference she was supposed to do this weekend, and she actually delayed it so she can go kick it with Meghan because they are actually real life friends.
That's what you do.
Yeah, it's cool that they friends like that. You know, it wasn't just for the wedding.
Yeah, after she probably delayed it too because the tennis people like to show up at her house unannounced for a drug test.
Meghan and Serena Williams joined the polo set. The Duchess of Sussex is joined by tennis legend and her tech tycoon husband to watch Harry and Prince William play in a charity polo match.
Oh.
Last time Prince Harry was at the Audi Polo Challenge, all eyes were on his then girlfriend Meghan Markle. But today, the Duchess of Sussex made a subtle entrance as she arrived in Ascot, Berkshire to cheer on her husband. The royal newlyweds were also accompanied by their good friend Serena Williams and her husband Alexis Ohanian, who both attended the royal wedding at Windsor Castle in May. Then there's pictures. Meghan in a dress with a nice car. There's Alexis and Serena and Meghan. They got that thing from the back for Serena. Thank you, cameraman. Appreciate you
doing his job.
The Duke of Sussex delighted polo fans for the second day on the trot as he wowed spectators alongside his brother. He and Prince William enjoyed some brotherly bonding as they took to the turf of the Cowworth Park Polo Club. Prince Harry's appearance today comes after he thrilled sports fans at a charity match in Oxfordshire yesterday. Harry has been was seen squatting in his riding helmet following on from yesterday when he made a surprise appearance at British Polo Day in Henley-on-Thames, Oxfordshire. Friday's event, which saw Prince Harry and the US-based Valiente team take on the UAE, raised £200,000 for the Royal Foundation and Centabel, two charities of which he is a patron. So he's just out here helping spread the word for charity. And that's him on horse, playing polo, I guess, is what this is, or
I'm
something.
Assuming so. I don't know.
I don't know the rules of this. It's very white. Very white. Mm-mm. I don't even know how you score or win in polo.
Me either.
I just thought it was by wearing those shirts.
Duh!
The night before, Harry was joined by Meghan, 36, at an engagement with the Queen, but his wife chose to sit out the day at polo. The prince appeared in good spirits as he showed off his skills on the field alongside leading men's polo player Adolfo Cambiasso and women's star Nina Clarkin. So, good for everybody. Glad Serena got to hang out. Meghan got to kick it. You know, Harry got to play in front of the greatest tennis player of all time.
Yay. I mean,
you know, who knows the kind of things they talk about when they get together. Just swirly stuff. Just, I assume, woke swirly, delicious stuff.
Oh.
Priyanka Chopra stuns in a red sari as she puts on a loved up display with beau Nick Jonas at a pal's engagement bash in Mumbai.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. So we know that Nick Jonas and Priyanka have been dating for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Things appear to be getting serious. I think last time we covered they officially like announced that they were dating via his Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to other people's engagement parties. Okay, you know, that's when things start getting serious, start attending stuff like weddings and shit together. They went public with their relationship earlier this week, and Priyanka Chopra looked in the throes of love as she attended her friend Akash Ambani pre-engagement bash with her boyfriend Nick Jonas, 25, in Mumbai on Thursday.
She better wear that dress.
She wear everything. The Bollywood actress, 35, looked every inch the leading lady in a glimmering red sari, with Nick looking dapper in a tailored navy suit.
Who is that dude behind
right?
him?
Okay. What's he looking at?
That's what I'm trying to, but he is standing.
Oh, it's like he closing the door to the, to the limo.
Okay, cause he is looking hard.
The way his reflection is in the limo though, for a second I thought he was giving a silent five to a black man, like, look at that ass though. Like it was some black, some just unseen black man back there like, dap, you see it too. Priyanka stunned in the striking gown, which featured a red sash layered atop a gold bead encrusted bustier. She styled her raven locks in sleek curls and complimented her glamorous look with blush swept cheeks and a slick of rouge lipstick. The Bollywood star couldn't hide her delight at introducing her boyfriend to pals as she flashed a smile while they headed into the event hand in hand. Oh, there she is looking back like, hey, y'all. Oh, look at me and Nick.
I know.
About to tear this young dick up. Okay. Wait till I get him in here. Nick cut a dapper figure in a navy suit and crisp white shirt as they graced the engagement function at Akash Ambani and Bollywood star Shilka Mehta. Earlier this week, they made their relationship Instagram official after months of swirling rumors. The Quantico actress, who hails from Jamshedpur, Jharkhand, okay, India, shared a shot of the entertainer alongside her sibling writing, "My favorite men," accompanied by an emoji of lovelorn heart eyes. I don't know why these pictures are taking so long to load on y'all. I'm sorry.
No problem.
See what I can. I don't even know how to speed this up, actually. The Baywatch beauty and Jonas have been vacationing in South Asian country where Nick was stated to meet Chopra's mother. Ooh, we met the mama?
Oh, that's what you know.
Okay, Nick, I see you. The Bollywood beauty and the crooner are very happy in their relationship and things are getting serious, the source told the publication. Nick, who shot to fame with his brothers Kevin and Joe as the Jonas Brothers singing group, has been equally enthusiastic about sharing his new romance with the UNICEF Goodwill ambassador via social media. In a clip he shared on his Instagram stories last week, he wrote her with a heart emoji, showing off a shot of a beaming Chopra during their international travels. Oh, and here go the pictures of them getting out the car. Oh, look how they look each other's eyes.
Oh,
I mean, look, they both grind in a motherfucker, man. I feel them. Like, they both winning. They're like, no, you winning. No, you winning.
Right.
No, I'm winning. Ah, good. It's good to see people in love.
It is.
Good to see some happy news in days like today. Shout out to white people news. This is what they care about.
All right.
Even though neither of them is white, they are firmly in white people news. Mm-hmm. Y'all know it. Let's see. Who else? What other white people do I care about? Oh, this story is crazy. There's a journalist who revealed that he faked his own death to thwart the Moscow plot.
What?
A Russian journalist fooled the world media by staging his murder in an elaborate scheme with the Ukraine. Like,
was you trying to escape something? I mean,
trying to escape death.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm gonna fake my death so I can get the fuck out of here.
Arkady Babchenko, the Russian journalist whose murder was dramatically announced by the Ukraine on Tuesday, emerged very much alive on Wednesday and said he had faked his own death in order to thwart a plot by Moscow to kill him. Smiling and looking a little sheepish, Babchenko appeared before a surreal press conference held by Ukraine's SBU Secret Service. He apologized to his wife for the nightmare he had caused her, but said there had been no alternative to playing at being dead. Alexa, I'm sorry, but there was no options here. He declared, I'm sorry for making you live through this. I buried my own friends and colleagues many times myself. Ukrainian officials announced on Tuesday that Babchenko, a veteran war correspondent, had been shot 3 times in the back as he left his apartment in the capital of Kiev to buy bread. His wife discovered him lying in a puddle of blood, and Babchenko died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, they said. Ukraine's Prime Minister Volodymyr promptly blamed the Kremlin for his death and suggested that he had been targeted because of his professional work. To complete the picture, the authorities released a sketch of the likely assassin and revealed a bearded middle-aged man wearing a baseball cap. On Wednesday, Babchenko revealed that this was an elaborate special operation, a hoax in fact. It certainly fooled the world's media, which reported his death prominently and prompted friends and colleagues to shower him with posthumous tributes. At the time when he came back from the dead, writers were busy crafting his obituary. I guess it's a good way to find out what your friends really thought about you, you know?
Correct.
And who faked it. Like, who, when you died, was like, hey, my man, but secretly, you know, they've been hating you since, like, 5 years ago and shit. The news that Babchenko was alive and the sight of the reporter prompted gasps from journalists at the press conference. Speaking in Russian, for which he apologized, Babchenko said Ukraine's SBU had learned of a serious plan to kill him kill him 2 months ago and warned him about it 1 month ago. So maybe it's like Commissioner Gordon in The Dark Knight.
Right.
The plot originated in Moscow and from government security services. He said, the SBU showed me evidence and I understood that it was coming from Russia, probably from state security apparatus. They suggested I take part in a sting operation. His apparent killers have been provided with his passport photo and official details, he said, hinting this was proof of Russian state conspiracy. The sting operation had its bizarre denouement on Tuesday night when his death was announced. I did my job and I'm still alive, he said, expressing thanks to the Ukraine special services for saving my life. Damn. I wonder what happened to the killers. I mean, did they catch them? I don't see nothing in the article about that. Maybe they can't tell us they caught them on stolen and I don't see nothing. Huh. Anyway, that's some white people shit.
Yes, that is.
Faking your death? Who play like that,
but
boy?
But I be safe. They go, oh, he alive?
Mm-hmm. Hillary Duff is pregnant. The actress is expecting a little princess with her boyfriend, Matthew Coma.
Oh.
That's right. He put it in a coma, put it to sleep, and now they got a baby. You know what I'm saying? Beat the pussy up like fight night. but yeah, the singer and actress announced on Instagram Friday that she and her boyfriend Matthew Coma are expecting their first child together, a daughter. Guess what, guys? At Matthew Coma and I made a little princess of our own, and he couldn't be more excited. She captioned a photo of herself and Coma sharing a sweet smooch, while the mom-to-be wears a long maxi dress that shows off a hint of a baby bump. Wrote Coma on a share of the same photo, we made a baby girl. She will be as beautiful and sweet as her mother. At Hillary Duff, another incredible chapter begins. Hillary, whose post caption is likely referring to sister Haley Duff, who welcomed her second daughter Lulu Gray on Tuesday, is also a mom of son Luca Cruz, 6, whom she welcomed to March in March 2012 with ex-husband Mike Comrie. Hillary 30 confirmed that she and Coma were back together in December, and the duo dated for a few months before breaking things off in March. It's going so great, she said of their relationship on The Talk, confirming that it's the third time that we've dated, adding time is such a big deal. Third time's a charm. So, sometimes it takes 3 times, Karen.
It was something that they were liking.
Yep. In September, the younger star began dropping hints that she and 31-year-old singer-songwriter were back together, sharing Polaroids of herself, strumming a guitar, and blowing out candles on her birthday cake. Polaroids? What? I think that you have history, past with someone in love, and just because it doesn't work the first time, the second time, as long as there's not too much damage done, then it can always work out again. She opened up the Red Book in March 2017 about the potential of adding to her family, admitting that she got no of the fact that I'm not going to have a baby that's close in age, said Luca. She said, okay. It sucked that when everyone would be like, when are you having another? And the actress whose divorce from former professional hockey player Comrie was finalized in 2016. I'd be like, do you know what's happening right now? I'm not having another. I'm cherishing the now, she continued, joking on what the future could hold. Besides, watch, I'll probably get some evil spawn of Hillary the next time around.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Evil spawn of Hillary Duff.
I don't know, maybe a role she played or something.
Oh, so she trying to say, I think she's trying to say, like, you know how they say you'll get a child version of yourself as your punishment. So like, I'll probably get another me as a, as like, that'll be my baby. It's just basically what I, how I was when I was a kid. Like a joke about her, the bad kid. So anyway, good luck to all those white folks.
Good luck.
Thank you for brightening our day, really.
Yes.
It's the reason we do the things we do.
I clear it is, ain't it? Mm-hmm.
Prosecutor, blood on samurai sword ties a man to a woman's beheading.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Blood stains found on a samurai sword has led to murder charges against a Washington man who's accused of beheading a woman and then abandoning her stolen car on the side of Interstate 5 near Eureka in February.
Oh my.
The Allen County Prosecuting Attorney's Office in Cooperville, Washington, had been waiting nearly 4 months for the Washington State Patrol Crime Lab to provide results of forensic testing on the sword, which was found in the trunk of a stolen 1998 Honda. On Wednesday, the lab reports showed dried blood on the sword's blade belonging to a murder victim, Catherine Cunningham. While DNA on the hilt matched the suspect, 33-year-old Jacob Gonzalez. Allen County County Sheriff's investigators have been trying to find Gonzalez since early May, and he still has a $1 million nationwide warrant out for his arrest.
Oh.
Previously, Gonzalez was considered a person of interest in the case and initially was charged with vehicle theft and firearm violations. The lab results resulted in fresh charges of domestic violence, murder in the second degree while armed with a deadly weapon. Those lab results indicate Mr. Cunningham's blood was on the blade of the sword and Mr. Gonzalez's DNA was on the hilt. Oh, Miss Cunningham. Okay.
You did that.
Mm-hmm. Based on those results, we amended the charges. Allen County Sheriff's Detective Ed Wallace said Friday he believes Gonzalez may be hiding in either Los Banos area or in Merced County, where he has ties. Gonzalez is Hispanic, stands 5'9", weighs 150 pounds, with black hair and hazel eyes. Officials speculate he could have shaved his head and face to conceal his identity. Wallace said tips on Gonzalez's whereabouts have been trickling in since early March, and he hopes to renew publicity about his charges will result in more leads. They received some tips from Merced County residents, or maybe it's Merced County, anyway. And one person from Northern California called his office shortly after the car was abandoned to say they may have seen the man. Wallace said it's important for people to first call the local authorities. Don't try to run up on this nigga.
No shit.
You know, got that sword and shit. Or might have another one. Yeah, so there you guys go. Mm-mm-mm. The homicide investigation began March 3rd on Washington's picturesque Camano Island after Robert Johnson and several of his friends discovered the body of Cunningham, 26, wrapped in a sleeping bag. Johnson was a neighbor living next to the 10-acre wooded rural parcel where Gonzalez and Cunningham leased the land and stayed in a travel trailer. Wallace said the pair were dating and in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Johnson was thinking of buying a property so he and his friends could decide to scout it out. And the group looked down a ravine and saw a red wagon and tarps that led them to discover a nearby sleeping bag. One person kicked the bag, and when it appeared something heavy was inside, they found her body with most of her head missing.
Oh.
Her head was also in the sleeping bag.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. Deputies found a trail of a dozen empty sandbags leading from the wagon to a man-made survivalist-style bunker where, armed with warrants, they later discovered a stash of firearms with over 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
Oh, we were ready for whoa!
The guns included a two-bolt action Mossen-Nagant rifles, Savage semi-automatic 22 rifle, and an HR-1871 camouflage pump-action shotgun.
I don't know what none of that is, but that sounds like he's ready to fuck some shit up.
Deputies found a SCCY 9mm pistol headed in the man's hiking boots inside the trailer. Gonzalez was not allowed to possess firearms due to previous auto theft charge. The investigation widened to include Siskiyou County when Allen County investigators learned on March 12th that the California Highway Patrol had found Cunningham's Honda abandoned February 16th on the side of I-5 near the Anderson Grand Summit north of Eureka. The car was found a day after deputies believed Cunningham was murdered. A CHP officer taking inventory of the impounded car found a samurai sword in a sheath and wrapped in a blanket. Vasquez also took DNA swabs of the Honda steering wheel and sent them and the sword to the crime state lab. Deputy said that Cunningham's injuries appear to be caused by the same type of weapon as the sword. So damn, hope they find this motherfucker. He out here in these streets. YOLO. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, that's why you gotta be careful going on, you know, hanging out with these motherfuckers with these swords. So we'll be back. Let's see, tomorrow I have like a root canal thing. Mm-hmm. They say it's not painful, but we'll see. We may or may not do a show. Definitely not doing one Wednesday. Mm-mm. Cause you know, July 4th, we take some time off. And I'll talk to Justin about Balls Deep. I think it's going to be Friday, but it might be Thursday. But we'll be doing that this week. Cause you know, we got to talk about, the Lakers coming to LeBron's team. Got to talk about that one. All right. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Bye.